this morning, I've been in this church before, and I've never really been able to go through what took place and what happened in fullness. Every time I try to start going in that direction, Tammy, I end up in somewhere else. And this morning I said, Lord, there are a lot of new people in by this word. They have not heard the story before. They don't know what took place in my life. You know? And in reality, what it is this very thing that we've been singing about this morning. You know what that is? The love of God. What I got to experience was the love of God at that time when every one of us in this room hope we experienced the love of God in that moment. That's what really took place. It wasn't that I died and I just went to heaven. I left my body because of the love of God. Do you guys hear what I just said? Norma, I didn't have to experience it on the planet like most people think you're going to have to experience it. So this morning, I've been asking the Lord, I said, Lord, can I just go through it and share it? Some of you have heard it before, and I'm going to be like Peter to you. Bring it back to your remembrance. I'm probably going to clarify some things. I do it a little bit different than I did it before. I got more pastor in me. I was in a place just recently, and I got excited, and I started doing that, jumping up and down. And I stopped, and I looked at Rick, and I said, I'm acting like Pastor Jan. Yeah. You know, but the reality of it is, it really is the love of God. That's all it is. You know, over 10 years ago, my heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. I was considered what you call clinically dead. God was so graceful enough to provide the 700 Club to come out and do a video. And the good thing about it, I wouldn't have never been able to afford the equipment to do it. You know, they even got the doctor that was actually in the room when I died, Dr. Rigge. You know, he was rated in this state in the top 10 doctors at one time. This is God putting this together. I didn't put it together. He put it together. And there's a reason he put it together. I'm back in Washington, D.C. I'm back there right now doing things that I didn't think I would be doing. But because it's so solid and the man died, and all of the people that have researched it out said the man really died for an hour and 45 minutes. He must have went somewhere. There's doors that opened to me in Washington, D.C. that I didn't think would open. I can't tell you all the doors are open to me right now. But I'm doing things that I didn't think. I'm meeting people I didn't think I would meet. And the main thing I'm telling them, Tammy, is what it's like to die as a Christian and go to be with the Father and Jesus. Because everybody wants to know that stuff. Even if they say they don't believe in God, they want to know what it's like. Because everybody's going to have to experience it sooner or later. And those doors open more than you can ever realize. I want to show the doctor. His name is Dr. Rigge. We're just going to show a little short clip. I'm not going to show the whole thing. Just know that the 700 Club did an investigation for 6 months. They just didn't say this man died. We're going to put him on TV and that's the way it is. They did 6 months investigation. And they got the doctor that was actually in the room, Ruth. You've seen it before. You've heard it before. Dr. Rigge. And like I said, he was rated in the top 10 doctors in this state. A lot of times now in the other parts of the country, Lonnie, I got to tell people that Washington has more than 10 doctors. You don't realize how far you really are up here, you guys. Okay. But he was rated also as the number one patient care doctor in this state. That means his peers rated him in the top 10, and then patients turned around and rated him as the number one patient care doctor. And he was the man that was in the room, Jerry, with me. He was the one that saw my heart stop for that long. He was the one that was working on me during that time frame. So I'm going to show this little clip so you can see it, because people in the room, some of you may say, well, I don't really know if he died or not. I want you to hear the expert. Hour and 45 minutes. That's how long. That's not according to what I'm saying. That's what the medical records say. So let's show that real quick. Nancy?
I did not think he was going to survive. In a way, I told his wife that, you know, now all we have just to pray and wait, because there is nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional, because he was really, really dead for a long time.
And that part, if you think about it, wasn't even choreographed. You know how they tell people what to say and how to say it? When he says that, the man was really, really dead. And I've had people challenge it. The Church of Nazarene, their headquarters is in Olathe, Kansas. 4 years ago, I was out there, and half of their headquarters came to hear me talk. They went back to talk to the rest of the headquarters, and they've been debating for 4 years whether they would have me come and talk to all the leaders of the Church of Nazarene. Finally, they said, I can talk to all the leaders. It took them 4 years. Took him 4 years, but they called up the doctor themselves, got him at home. And you know what he said? The man was really, really dead. You know? But the bottom line, I'm telling you guys, I always say it's easy for me to prove I died. This is probably one of my greatest things I get to say. It's easy to prove that I died. Hour and 45 minutes, that's what the medical records say. But because I was born again, because I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because, Harold, I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me, I went where Christians are supposed to go, George. It's not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. That's what happens to us. You guys got to grab what I just said here. Most people don't even grab that, because some of you are hoping you get to go. Some of you are wishing you get to go. I'm telling you right now, you're born again, you're going. You might as well start acting like it. Do you know that's the way it is? Whether you like it or not. There are even the groups that say, we don't believe you go to heaven when you die. If they're born again, guess what? They're going any old way. And they can argue about it when they get there. And Mike, how many people are going to argue about it? You guys got to understand something. You're going to find out you're not right on everything. There's a lot of things you're going to find out you were wrong on. But the good thing about it is, those are not the things that get you into heaven. Jesus does. Sometimes we make those things to be the ones that get you into heaven. Like speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you ain't going to heaven. If you do speak in tongues, you ain't going to heaven. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You know Jesus Christ, you get to go any old way. I'm not saying it's not important to speak in tongues. I'm just telling you, some of those things that we just bring out and put out there are not going to get you in or keep you out. You know Jesus, you get to go in. That's the good thing about it, and that's what happened to me. Now, I could talk about what it was like to be healed, Dale. You know, you spend time with Marilyn, you know how feisty she is. You know, even though Mike, that's a whole different story. I won't pick on you, Mike. I'm glad you're here on the planet still. You know, he was trying to leave, but Jesus didn't even get to tell him, no, it ain't his time. Just stopped it in cold. Stop the cold. You ain't even going to get there where I can tell you to go back. So you better get going right now, you know. But the bottom line is this, you guys. You know, I can tell you what it's like to be healed. God healed me of all the things that went wrong with this body. I had a kidney stone stuck on the right side. You know, a kidney infection. When they blasted the stone, they pushed the poison into my body, and I became what you call sepsis. It's the fifth leading cause of death in the planet. Did you hear me? You know that senator that's back there in Washington? That's what he's fighting right now. That poison going through his body. And what's going on, John, is most people don't realize this. It is that they can concentrate you on one area. Let's say your heart. They give you medication for your heart, but it has side effects, so it impacts the rest of the body. That's what's going on when you become sepsis. So even if they gave you medication, Pastor, it would not do what it's supposed to do, because it will weaken another part, and that part needs to be strong too. Yeah. You know? That's what went on with me, Lonnie. So my heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. I became what you call clinically dead. You know? Marilyn and Jesus ganged up on me. You know her. You know? I get to tell you that she said she ain't never praying me back again. Our lives have changed. You know that. You've walked with me. Our lives have changed, you know. She didn't think she'd be over there in Virginia this time of her life. That's the Lord. We were reassigned, you know, that type of thing. But I can tell you about what it's like to be healed. I believe in healing. We're probably going to pray afterwards for people to be healed. One of the reasons I tell you the story is so that you that are out there right now can build your faith, so when you come up here, God can touch you. Because if you can heal this man of all 29 different things and you do not, I don't have any residue, what can he do for you? Some of you are living with things you don't have to live with. You just don't have to. Some of you need to get rid of the little decal in your car that has the wheelchair on it. Oh, boy, that didn't go over well, huh? I forgot. We're in Washington State. I forgot. You know what I mean? They pay you to be sick. You guys don't believe me. Look at the way you operate here. You know? Oh, you ain't saying nothing to me, are you? He gonna talk to me later. But I don't meet him on Tuesdays no more, so I won't hear it till later on in life. But I'm just saying that. I'm hoping that you come up and you can get rid of the decal. I really think there should be a wall where you have all the decals on it, all the people. Don't have to have the crutches no more. You don't have to have the wheelchairs no more. You don't have to have the canes no more. You just have a decal wall. But given to you by the state of Washington. You guys hear what I just said? You know? So I'd say those things so that you guys that are out there, and if you got something going, we're going to pray for you. You can be healed. I know miracles take place in this building. I've been here when miracles take place in this building. I've been hearing about miracles take place in this building. So I know miracles take place in this building. This is common. This is not uncommon for someone to get healed in this building. Is that good news, you guys? I'm just saying that to you. So I can share about that. But one of the things I like to share about is what it was like to die as a Christian. Before I go any farther, you got to understand that I used the Word of God a whole lot. I used the Word of God a whole lot. I thank God that He brought me to this building to learn how to use the Word of God a whole lot. Most of you don't realize that there's a lot of people like me out there. They died, but they don't use the Word of God a whole lot. They tell their story, but they don't use the Word of God a whole lot. They tell you what it's like, but they don't use the Word of God a whole lot. And as I said, I line up what I experienced through the Word of God, because that's the way I communicate with you. You that are born again, you might as well understand, your best communication tool is the Word of God. If you want to know how to get something across to someone, use the Word of God. If they're born again, they will be able to hear it because they have the Spirit of God on the inside of them to help them hear what you're saying. Is this good news, you guys? So I'm going to use the Word of God. One of the scriptures I use is that of John, the 14th chapter, 1 through 6. This is Jesus Christ talking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is Jesus Christ yelling to the entire world, "Trust me." That's all he's saying, you guys. Everybody on the planet sooner or later is going to leave their body. But you that are connected to him are going where he is. That's right. I get to tell you I went to heaven because he said it. Yeah. Is this good news? You know, Howard, you know why I love to say that? Because if that's true, what about all the other stuff in it? Seriously. What about all the other stuff, Michael? If that's true, what about all the other stuff he said in there? You know? It's true, too. This is Jesus Christ telling you how to get to his Father's house. There's only one way, and that's through him. Kevin, you've heard me say it. You've heard me say it over and over and over again, but I'm going to remind you one more time. Guess what? There is no other way. He is the only way. And it isn't a belief system. Whether you change your belief today or tomorrow, it doesn't matter. He's still the only way. You guys getting this? Because we're changing all the time. We're changing how we think about things. We think this is this way and that way and this way and that way. Society's always changing something. But Jesus is the only way. Amen. It is not a belief system, Michael. It's the way it is. If I don't call some of your names out there, it's because I ain't looking that far out. All right. Maybe I should look at Rusty and Catherine back there and start calling them out too. You know. But the bottom line is, you know, I went to heaven because Jesus said it. Because of the love of God. Lenny, you talked about it. You got excited about it. It was the love of God. That's why I went there, you guys. No other reason but because he loved me so much. Yes, I accepted him as Lord and Savior. And I've had people all the time tell me, "I accepted him when I was a little kid. That's why I went." No, he chased you before you were even created. Before you were on the planet, he came after you. Is this good news, you guys? Before you were even thinking, you were thinking. He came after you. It's because of Jesus. That's why I went there. I left my body. I went to be with the Father and Jesus. I get to tell you right now, Tammy, your dad experienced it. My dad experienced it. Brent, your dad experienced it. Rick, your dad experienced it. I know all these brothers in this room and sisters, just their fathers went home to be with the Lord recently. I remember when I got the word and you said, well, he knew Jesus. What more could you be happy about? Yeah, we're sad that he left. You know, that he left the planet. But we know where he went. I can't even say he died. I can't say my dad died. I said he left. You that are born again, got to grab what I just said. Because he didn't die. He left the planet. Just to let you know that right off the bat. You know, us that are born again, we don't die. I found that out. I found out something else. I left my body before my body died. It wasn't that my body died and I left. Damn it. When that happened to your father, he left first. Doesn't matter what the medical report says. Doesn't say what everybody says. He left first. He did not experience it. When my dad left this planet, he did not experience it. Rick, when your dad left this planet, he did not experience. Brent, when your dad, where's he at? He's in here somewhere. When your dad left this planet, he did not experience it. That's what happened to me. You know? I remember leaving my body and then my body dying. And the Bible says that. I like to use where it says in James, the 26th verse, it says, faith without works is dead, just like the body is dead without the spirit. Pastor, the spirit got to leave first. Then the body dies. It isn't that the body dies and the spirit leaves. Us that are born again, that's been given to us. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse says, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by God's grace, he would experience death on behalf of everyone. He died your physical death, not just your spiritual death. And Tammy, he did it for everyone. But for them to receive that blessing, they have to receive him. Did you hear what I just said there? So I left my body and then my body died. Michael, it wasn't that my body died and then I left. I left my body and then my body died. Someone asked me one time, what was it like to die? I said, I don't know. I wasn't there. Is that good news? Here it comes with the package. It comes with the package. You that are born again, you're not going to have to experience this because Jesus Christ has already experienced it for you on the cross. Right. He went through it for you. He literally felt the pain that you would feel. That's why in Corinthians, I like to read the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says that you will not experience the sting of death. Is this good news, you guys? Really, really, I really believe that God has done that for us because he really wants you to get to work. If the one thing that most of us are fearful of is dying, he's saying you don't have to be fearful of it no more. Right. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 14th and 15th verse tells you that he came to take away the fear of death. And Tammy, guess what? He just didn't take it away from me. He took it away from anyone else that I am afraid to lose. I don't have the fear of death for them. Is this good news? Those that are born again, I don't have the fear of death for them. When my dad left this planet, I was not fearful. Is this good news, you guys? That comes with the package. I didn't realize it came with the package until I experienced it with my dad. I grieved a little bit. I felt sorry for a little bit. But not like my brothers. They don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As far as they're concerned, he does not exist any longer. I don't even know what that could be like, Pastor Jan. Do you know why? Because I'm born again. I got Jesus Christ on the inside of me. I'm connected to him still right now. Is this good news? I use the word good news a whole lot because, you guys, we got to understand good news is a lot more than just the basics. Jesus Christ has given us a whole much in that love that Lonnie was talking about this morning. So I left my body and went to meet the Father and Jesus. How fast did I get there? I used the scriptures to be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. Faster than you can blink. Faster than you can think about blinking. Faster than you could thought that you were going to think about blinking. I was there. But I'm not telling you that so you know how fast you leave the planet. Because I remember leaving this body and going to be with the Father and Jesus. And there was something else that was passing me by. One of the greatest things I believe I can give my brothers and sisters. Because a lot of us wonder what is going on with our prayers. See, there were lights passing me by. You know what they were? They were the prayers that people were praying for me and others. Did you hear me? They looked like shooting stars. Were they shooting stars, Ruth? No, they were not. But the closest I can come to describing it, Michael, is that your prayers look like shooting stars. And how fast was I moving to be absent from the body to be in the presence of the Lord? And yet the prayers that people were praying for me and others was passing me by. I know I've said it in this building before. I know I've said it a number of times. But I want to say it again. Because sometimes we get worried in praying. Sometimes we get to thinking, oh, is our prayers doing anything? And you don't understand something. Your God wants to hear from you. In 1 Peter, I love to read this scripture. It says it this way, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. To me, this God up there, Pastor Jan, going like this, I want to hear from you. He's got his head tilted to the side saying, are you going to talk to me today, Steve? Are you going to say anything to me? Because I want to hear from you, Jerry. And most of us don't realize we were created to talk to him, Tammy. Because when man was created in Genesis, the second chapter, before woman was even created, God gave man a mouth and a voice. And it wasn't to talk to the animals. No one in the room has an excuse not to talk to God. If you look in the mirror and you got a mouth and a voice, guess what? He's giving you the tools to talk to him. Most of us in the room sometimes don't want to spend time talking to him, but you were created to talk to him. You're hearing my voice, secondary, really what it was made to do. Lonnie was really made to talk to him. Amen. That's what it was really made to do. My voice, you're hearing my voice. It was merely made for him to hear. Uh-oh, let me stop. Get over here, Rick. Calm me down. I'll be doing that little. You get points for that if you have a Fitbit. I'll tell you that right now. Just to let you know that, you get points now. Okay. Rick was telling me about how he looked at this comic strip, and there was this woman, and she was laying in the bed, and her husband said, now get up, get up. And she said, no, I'm not getting up until my Fitbit is charged. You know what I mean? She getting every point she needed, you know what I mean? But to be on the line, your mouth was made for him. Amen. Your lips were made for him. To me, you're the perfect communication tool to talk to him. Because now he's giving you two ears to hear from him. Yeah. I have a hard time when people say, I can't hear from God. Not because I don't believe they can't hear from God. It's just that I hear from God. I hear from God when I don't want to hear from God. Yeah. He tells me things even when nobody else is hearing it. Yeah. He knows my heart, my thoughts and everything like that. And he tells me. So I hear from God. Sometimes I think that we don't want to hear from God. You know, you can become dull to his voice because you have cut it out over the things he tells you. Because some of the things you don't want to hear, you know, some of us don't want to hear what he says. No, you need to correct that. It was you. There's many a times when I've done things and he didn't say that you were right. He said you were wrong. Even if the truth was being brought out, he said you were bringing it out wrong. Do you guys hear me? So if you want to hear from God, you got to go over the little things. When he tells you the little things, then you'll hear the big things. It's the little things he's asking for, Michael, right now. He's asking you to hear from him for the little things. And the little things could be the most minor thing you think it is. You know, one time I talked about going to South Carolina and the Holy Spirit telling me to take my feet off a coffee table. You know, and the way he said it was, you know better than that. And Lonnie, you're the one that helped me with the scripture on that. It says, if you know it's sin and you do it, it's sin to you. Right. You brought it to me and told me that, you know, scripturally. So even though it may not be sin to anybody else to put their feet on the coffee table, I was taught you don't put your feet on the coffee table. Do you understand? So I obeyed him in that small thing and he did great things because of it. Yeah. I'm just letting you know that, you guys. It seems small. What's so big about that? Because he told me. He said, you know better. No? So you're the perfect communications tool to talk to your God. And if you're having a hard time, guess what you can do, Shane? Guess what you can do? Let me tell you what you can do. This is what you can do, Sean. I called you Shane, but I meant Sean. Okay, so you know I'm calling you out. And everybody else knows I'm looking at you now. This is what you can do. You can ask him. Because he wants you to hear him better than you want him to hear. He wants to communicate with you because that's what you were created for, Dino, to talk to him. So here it is. I enter into heaven. Everything in heaven is glad I'm there. There's nothing that is sad I got into heaven. Have you ever been a place where everything there is glad you're there? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You would show up, Aaron, and the next thing you know, some people say, oh, he just showed up. You know what I mean? Why is he in the room now? You know? They may not say it, but their body language sure does. You know what I mean? But in heaven, no one there is, disappointed because you came in. It isn't just the Father. It isn't just Jesus Christ. It isn't just the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of you. Every time I get to that point, Pastor, I want to pass by it. But then the Holy Spirit says, no, stop. Let them know that when you got to heaven, I didn't jump out and get somebody else. Let them know when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I entered in the inside of them and I'm with them forever. Let them know to stop saying, I don't feel close to God when he resides on the inside of them. How much closer can he get? Because some of you go by your feelings instead of what Jesus Christ said. And whether you like it or not, he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Some people say, well, I hope he didn't hear that. Guess what? He on the inside of you. I hope he didn't see that, Steve. Guess what? He on the inside of you. Whether you like it or not, God Almighty is with you. He sees all those things more than you realize. And sometimes he experiences them. Did you hear what I just said? That's good news. That's right. Most of us don't realize that. So I try to get past that. But every time the Holy Spirit says, you need to stop there, TJ. And you need to emphasize that I live on the inside of them. Act like it. Act like it. Stop acting like he ain't there. He is. He sees it all. Now, if you do something wrong, you can confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. And then I always say, get back to work. We got work to do. I wish people would travel the country with me like Rick does. Rick is traveling with me. And Rick, we see so many needy people, don't we? All over the world. They're hurting. And I know you, and by his word, you don't understand how good you have it. But when you leave and you go somewhere else, you find out there's a lot of people that don't have it as good as you do. I'm just putting it out there, you guys. You know, I was here. Harold, I was here. I know. But I've gone out there and I've seen where they're lacking a lot of times, Maxine. People don't realize how good they really have it here. We got work to do, Pastor Jan. There's so many people out there that need the word of God. No, you don't grab that, do you? They need the word of God. Just to let you know that they have experienced the love of God. Now they need the word of God. There's a whole different situation in that situation out there. So here it is. I enter in. And when I get into heaven, the first thing I realize is that everything there is glad I'm there. And everything's right. There's nothing wrong. And I fit. I fit. I came to understand something. We were created for rightness. That's why you can't get along with wrongness. You don't fit. That's why when something's wrong, you just cannot stand it because you were created for rightness. I didn't have to go, when I got there, go to a car wash and get cleaned up and be put into different situations. Oh, you just came from the earth, and man, you earthlies, we got to get away from for a while. We don't want to contaminate the place. When I got there, everything was right, and I fit. Is this good news, you guys? Most of us don't realize that's why we can't get along with wrongness. We're not created for wrongness. We're created for rightness. That's what's going on in that situation. The other thing that got me is everything there, like I said, was glad I was there. There were animals there. They're alive. They can talk to you. If you go to Revelation, the 5th chapter, you find out that creatures come around the throne of God and they, what, praise him. There's a bird that flies around in the 8th chapter of Revelation that proclaims things. So there's animals in heaven and they're intelligent and they can talk to you. And guess what? Every animal there was glad I was there. Some of you, when you get home, your dog and cat run away. They wish they had hands. They wish they could open up the door and head out. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. But when I got to heaven, every cat, every dog, everything that you could think of that you wouldn't want to be there because you ain't got no fear, was glad I was there. The atmosphere is alive in heaven. It's intelligent and can talk. Revelation 10th chapter says the seventh thunder spoke. And it's not a metaphor. It's not an allegory. It's telling you that the seventh thunder spoke. And when they spoke, that John was told he couldn't write down what they said. Ain't that right, Hammy? Ain't that what they said? Okay. So the atmosphere is alive. When I got there, the atmosphere was glad I was there. Some of you in this room, you know your atmosphere changers. And it ain't for the right way. When you change, when you come in a room, the atmosphere goes the opposite way than you think it should go. You know? But in heaven, the atmosphere was glad I was there. It'd be like me walking in this room, and all of a sudden, you would hear, because the atmosphere was excited. Now, this is the one. I love to say it, because I want people to understand that there's no death in heaven. There's even a scripture that I use now, that I didn't use way back in the day, that I use now, that talks about that God creates everything alive. It's found in Nehemiah 9:6. And I'm reading out of the Dead Bible. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens and even the highest heavens, along with all the multitude of the stars, the earth, and all that is in it, is on it, the seas, and all that is in them. You impart life to them all, and the multitude of the heavens worship you. Yeah. It's in the Word. God is the God of life, not death. Yeah. If this podium was in heaven, it'd be alive. If those sound systems were in heaven, they'd be alive. If the benches you're sitting on were in heaven, they'd be alive. Ninth chapter of Revelation tells you there's a table in heaven called the altar. On that altar, some horns. Guess what they do? They talk. The 16th chapter, 7th verse tells you that the table talks. It says something. Go there, read it. I love saying this because then I would have had to go to everybody's Bible and change it to make it fit. And a lot of times people say, well, I never saw it that way. I was in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, and there was a lady there, and she was there to check me out. Ain't that right, Rick? She was there to check me out, wasn't she? And when I started saying this, there we go, weird again. There we go. Those guys that go to heaven, they always come back weird. She didn't even know that I didn't want to come back weird. Really? My first statement was when I don't want to be weird, Lord. I don't want to be weird. You go to heaven to see if you don't come back weird. Everybody I ever known that went to heaven, they came back weird. One time I had a guy keep me up until 3 o'clock in the morning asking me a bunch of questions about heaven. It was in New York, and I said, man, I'm tired. I got to go to bed. He said, man, if you had a guy in front of you that went to heaven, wouldn't you keep him up all night? I said, you got to be understand something. I wouldn't have believed him in the first place. That's how I was. So I had this lady, she's checking me out because here I am talking about these things and they're alive in heaven and all that stuff. And then I tell her about my favorite scripture, which is found in the 19th chapter, the first through the fifth verse. And I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to the fourth verse. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures threw themselves to the ground and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants. It was the throne giving praise to God. It's in the Word. I didn't change that, Michael. I didn't put that in there. It's in the Word. The very throne that God was sitting on was giving him praise. I used to read it like this. God was saying it. But it wasn't God giving himself praise. It was the throne giving God praise. So now why am I telling you that? Because I want you to understand when I entered in, everything was glad I was there. Now you get the picture. Now you get the picture. Everything was glad I was there. And I'll tell you something. It was like Jesus Christ went before me and announced I was coming. But he didn't do it the day I left my body. He did it the day I accepted him as Lord and Savior. And every one of you in this room, whether you realize or not, you've been announced. You've been announced, Harold. Lonnie, you've been announced. Pastor John, you've been announced. And then I say the next thing, Pastor John, or Dan, I don't know why I'm calling him John. The next thing I say is, act like it. You've been announced. Act like it. You've been announced. Act like it. June, you've been announced. Act like it. All of heaven is looking forward to you being there. Have you ever heard of any place that is looking forward to you being there? Everything there is looking forward to you being there because you've been announced. Now, I'll be honest, this is where people sometimes, and I only got a few more minutes, but this is where sometimes people get upset with me. Because they want me to talk more about the flowers and the birds and the mountains and everything. And in that book, I tell you, I talk about them praising Jesus. I tell you what they were doing in praising Jesus. I tell you how we all came together in praising Jesus. But I won't tell you about them, just them. Because none of them got me in. Jesus did. You guys getting this? No flower died for me. No river was beaten for me. No mountain was laid out on a cross for me. It was Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's not a place you want to be in. It's a person you want to be with. You're not being drawn to heaven. You're being drawn to Jesus. Most of us in the room don't grab that. You're not going to wow because you see the flowers move around and talk. You're not going to wow because the mountains move like ocean rivers. You're not going to wow because you see the sky in all kinds of colors. But you are going to wow because of your God.
Hallelujah.
Every moment you're going to look at him and say, wow. And the next moment you're going to say, wow. And before you even think about it, you're already behind in the wows. It's all about Jesus, you guys. It really is all about Jesus. Now, I could keep on going on. I've only gone so far. Some of you have heard this as far as that the Father has. I know time, so I'm looking at that. But I want you to understand it's about Jesus. He talked about it this morning, the love. That's what it is. So one thing that people always ask me, what did you get out of it more than anything else? And I say, the love the Father has for me. The love the Father has for me. That was the one thing above everything else. They said, what about Jesus? You got to understand, the love the Father has for me comes through Jesus.
Yeah.
It's about Jesus. He's the one gets you in. You know, I'm getting ready to give it over to Pastor. And then I'm going to come back because that's the way we usually do it. And I'm going to ask people if they want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of the people in this room have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you're not walking the way God wants you to walk. You're doing it your way and not His. And something this morning I know has touched you in a way that it hasn't touched you in a long time. And you know that you need to do it His way and stop doing it your way. You know, I found out backsliding is, Pastor, and I'm not even sure if you're the one that told me. I think you were. I think one time you were studying and you were telling me about the picture of backsliding was really a donkey on its back end and the owner trying to pull it forward. We think it's walking away from God. We think it's turning away from the church. We think it's all of that. And really what it is you're sitting in church and God trying you to go His way and you're sitting on your behind and He has to pull you forward. That's what backsliding really is, you guys. I'm going to come back. I'm going to give it to the pastor's hands. And we're going to come back and do that. And then also we're probably going to pray for people to be healed. You know, I know your faith has been built.
Yeah.
Some of you got healed right now. Some of you gotten healed. You don't have to come up because you've already been healed. Ain't that right, Susan? You've been healed. Something's happened in your body and you can feel it and you've been healed. You know, I expect it to happen. Rick could tell you, I expect people to get healed when I speak.
Yeah.
I just expect it. Do I say I'm a healing minister? No. But I expect people to get healed. It comes with the territory. Where God shows up, things change. Go ahead, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.